Hello and welcome to another episode on the Stretch Street Podcast. This is your host, the energetic EJ. How you doing? How are you doing? I hope you're fine. I hope you had a great week and you're looking forward to an amazing weekend. Whew, I know sometimes the week goes so fast and you're like, oh my God, did I just not wake up on Sunday and it's already Friday? I know. And especially for those of you who work from home, where, you know, sometimes you don't even know the difference between what day and what day. You're like, oh my God, did I not just say Sunday? And it's already another weekend? Yes, yes, yes. But anyways, I hope that your week has been as productive as mine, because, you know, that is one of the blessings of also, you know, working from home. You know, if you have the right tools, the right circles, the right platforms, then you can actually pump in a lot of things within your week, within your schedule, and you're able to get a lot of work done. And that is empowering when you look at your schedule, your to-do list, and your week, and you see that, oh my God, I really did well this week. Yay. But of course, it doesn't always happen that way. There are those weeks that you just want to sleep. Like, today I just don't feel like doing anything. I know those days. They're so familiar, right? And on those days, you just know that you keep like lazying around, doing nothing. And in your head, there's that conversation going on like, you know, you're supposed to do this, right? And I'm like, yeah, I know. I'm just going to do it later. And then later becomes 1 hour later, 6 hours later, 2 days later. Oh my God. I know these things. Of course, I'm human like you. Anyways, whichever category you fall into this particular week, I do hope that you're able to find solace and comfort in yourself and in the tiny little progress that you've made so far. And then determine and say, you know what? This week, this is how the results are. You know what? I want to change it. I want to make it better. Oh, yeah, I think I did really good and I want to continue with this momentum. Whatever it is, I wish you a very, very successful weekend and a coming week ahead. Okay. This is the Stretch Street Podcast. You already know how we do it here, right? We share stretch stories. And why? Because we want to draw out life lessons. You remember that challenges are not exclusive to any of us. Yes, we all go through them. Like for me, for example, since I celebrated my 150th episode, it's been back-to-back challenges, issues. And I'm like, what's going on? But guess what? I am of the opinion that, you know, life is trying to try me out and say, yeah, 150 episode. Yeah. You think you're all that? I'm going to show you. And I'm like, hey, bring it on. I'm going to fight. I am not going to, you know, live without a fight. And I'm going to focus on the progress rather than perfection. So you could have seen some of my episodes looking somehow looking funny. That's because on those days, my technology is either my laptop is not working or the platform I wanted to use to record is not working. And I just had to improvise without saying no or procrastinating or pushing it forward to another day. So this is to tell you or to remind you again that challenges are not exclusive to any of us. But the important thing is to learn the lessons that those challenges are there to teach us, because that, my friend, is how you grow your value. Because then when you get to tell people about these things you go through and they look at what you're saying and how, you know, well put together you seem, regardless of all the drama going on in the background, then they're like, oh my God, you're such a great person. You're such a strong person. Yeah, well, I am just assuming the posture of learning from all of these challenges that I go through. So today on the show, I have another, you know, I'll say handsome. Yeah. Yes. I have a friend all the way from Ecuador. You know, when he told me he's in Ecuador, I'm like, are you a drug lord? Don't tell anybody. I won't say it outside. But he explained to me that no, and he kind of tutored me, you know, the geography of things. I suck at geography, by the way. So he made me understand that Ecuador is in between Peru and Colombia, right? And so it's just a small city. And he, where he is quite peaceful, as opposing the general chaos that is going on there. And I'm glad that he is safe where he is. And by the time I bring him on the show, you see his beautiful background. It's so, I feel like I should be in that room with him right now. Just look from the window and just look at the beautiful mountains. It looks so beautiful and I can't wait to share his screen with you. Are you ready? Okay, today on the show, I have Jason all the way from Ecuador. Jason Lee, by the way. So what is Jason doing in Ecuador? Where is Jason from? What does he do? What is his stretch story? And what are the life lessons that he has learned from his journey so far? This and many more are what we're going to be having a conversation around on the show today. So grab your cup of tea, your cup of coffee, your bottle of water, and let us get to meet Jason, hear his story, and learn from his lessons as well. Don't go anywhere. I will be right back with my guests.
You are so good at that, EJ.
Thank you.
It's just I've heard a lot of intros. I've heard a lot of people, you know, in their different podcasts and kind of what they talk about, but I just love how you set the tone, you know, for everything else, and your energy just flows through you. And again, you're just an incredible speaker, so good for you, EJ.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And thank you for finding time off your busy schedule to be here today. Jason Lee, how are you? Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Thank you for hosting me.
Awesome. So tell us this beautiful story about that background of yours. Like, when you chose where you were going to stay in Ecuador, was this mountain view part of your decision, you know, your point, you know, what's that thing they call it? So one of the yardstick for you picking this particular location.
Oh yeah. Oh, absolutely. So what brings me down to Ecuador is my girlfriend is Ecuadorian. And so I had a chance to visit the country before, and having visited and enjoyed being here, it was one of the things I always had in my head as, you know, a beautiful place to live someday. But of course, you know, at the time I was living in Miami, and I lived in Miami for 3 years. And during that time, it started getting really hard, and it started getting really kind of, you know, especially as a person who's trying to focus on building a business and trying to focus on, you know, building a career, Miami is filled with distractions, you know, at the end of the day. And so, and it's not the cheapest city to live in either, you know, so oftentimes it becomes counterproductive to what I'm trying to get to. And the whole reason why I left my corporate career is so that I could focus on my business. So that to me is more important than, you know, most anything else, you know, in the world right now, you know, just to make sure that that does well. But eventually, when I realized that Ecuador would be a really unique experience to be a digital nomad in, live just a few months abroad and just kind of see how I like it, you know, 1 month turned into a few months, turned into now 10 months, you know, being here. And I probably will stay here another year, quite honestly, just because I'm loving it. And of course, again, you can kind of see by the view, you know, it's absolutely beautiful. But one of the most important things to me is a lesson that I learned back in New York City, which is back when I used to work in that city, you pay so much money for so little at the end of the day. And whether it be standard of living, whether it be living conditions or your size of your apartment, a studio, you know, still running for $2,000, $3,000 sometimes, you know, just for a studio without even a door, you know, to your kitchen and everything. So, you know, you're paying all this money, and then what's in front of you in your view? Do you have a beautiful view of a mountain and Central Park? No. You have a view of a beautiful building with another person living their life right across from you. And that's all you see every day, is you just look into someone else's window, into some other building. And that's, you never, you know, and when you live every day like that and you live in your box and everything, man, it's really difficult. So I always promised myself, I would always choose and make a conscious effort to live in places that I would always love just living around and seeing every day. Like, to me, it's very important, especially working from home, being in an environment that I can see and love. And so I kid you not, when I was looking for the apartment here in Ecuador, we looked at probably close to 20 to 25 different units.
Wow.
And every single one of them I was so picky about, because not that they weren't pretty
good, or
not
yeah.
that they didn't have necessarily good views. Like, some of them had great views, but what I really wanted was like this specific view, which is of the mountains, of the valley, and having nothing in front of me. And there was only one row of buildings that has an unobstructed view. And through that row of buildings, I just went down trying to figure out which one is the best one. And again, was able to find this apartment and find my way here. And now,
it is gorgeous. Cause I can just I could just like imagine waking up, like, you know, sometimes I don't know how dark it gets when you turn the blinds off, you know, when you turn the blind closed, but like, just like, I just feel like every morning when you wake up and just open the blind and just see the vastness and the beauty and the nature, I was like, oh God, okay, I think I can do this. Like, today's just going to be a good day. Yeah, it's going to be a good day.
Exactly. And like another big part of that is like natural light. Getting a lot of sunlight is extremely important in your home. And in Miami, my problem was that I faced the shadow of the building. The sun would always go on the other side. So it would be bright out, but I would never have sun. And I would always be in the dark in some way.
Wow,
and so
for
me, I realized I never want to do that again. I need to find an apartment that has direct sunlight that comes in, because when I open the curtains in the morning, I need to feel that sun on me, you know, to really
absolutely
wake up
and have I love the details and, you know, that you, the thoughts that you put into it. And it's just lovely. Like, it might seem simple or like vain, but no, like, because you already know what the kind of things that you want to have around you to make you productive. And it's just lovely to get into that story. Okay, Jason, what is your philosophy about life?
Ooh, there's a lot of philosophies I have about life. There's a lot of different areas of philosophies that I have about it. I think in general, when I think about happiness and fulfillment, those are kind of two different philosophies, because happiness can mean many different things and doesn't have to always mean the traditional sense of what people will think. So some people think money is happiness. You know, oh, if I have a mansion, if I have my nice sports car, if I have my Rolex watches, if I have all this stuff, I'm going to be so happy, you know, but that's not happiness, you know, and stuff like that. And then there's also fulfillment, you know, because in life, you have to feel fulfilled. And if you don't feel fulfilled, you feel empty, because you almost don't know, why am I here? What am I doing? You know, and so, again, there's a very specific balance between happiness and fulfillment that's really important for people to find. And again, one doesn't necessarily mean the other. So it's important to have a balance between both. But with that is also connection. And I think a connection to people is extremely important. And you could feel somewhat fulfilled and you could be somewhat happy, but if you don't have that human connection with anyone else, maybe you feel fulfilled because you're coding and you're doing that. And maybe you're happy because you, you know, did something, you got a paycheck. But if you're not talking to people, if you're not communicating, if you're not doing these things, all of that stuff is going to be extremely, again, empty. So there's a certain balance that comes with happiness, finding something that really fulfills you. And then from there, something that really fulfills you. And then from there, having connections with people, specifically your significant other, and, you know, being able to build a life around that. And I think if you find a balance between those three things, ultimately, you'll travel through life, you know, as a very content person.
I love that. I love that you used that word at the end, content person, you know, and that is beautiful, because like you said, happiness can be anything and it comes and goes, but that contentment is priceless. When you are content with what you have per time, like nothing can shake you. Like, you're like, okay, this happens today. We're going to go through it. And yeah, I love it. Okay. So tell me one fun thing about you.
One fun thing about me is that I've traveled a lot around the world, and I've lived in a lot of places around the world. So that's why for me, it's not so scary to live in a different place where I don't know anyone and have no friends or anything like that. And a little of my history, I was born in New Hampshire, in a very small town. I was maybe one of three Asians total in my entire school. So I grew up with, in a lot of ways, a lot of adversity, being the very odd one out,
odd kind of thing.
But through that grew a lot and eventually worked my way to New York, where I went to school and then I graduated and worked in New York City and worked there for 3 years. And then after that, I moved my way down to North Carolina and lived in Raleigh, North Carolina for about 3 years. I moved down to Miami, lived there for about 3 years. And then now I'm down in Ecuador and I've been here for about a year. But again,
so are we waiting for another 3 years in Ecuador?
we may. I just applied for my temporary residence visa, so I'll at least be able to stay as long as a few years. You know,
that's awesome.
At least 2 years, and I'll be able to stay longer if I want. But
that's awesome.
The biggest thing for me is I think it's so incredibly important to live in other areas and other places and experience different ways of life, because how you live in New York is different from how you live in North Carolina.
Absolutely.
Which is how you live different in Florida, which is how you live different in Ecuador. And I've also had a chance to live in London for 3 months, and I've had a chance to live in Virginia for 3 months, and all these different things. And so at the end of the day, you know, it's you really grow a lot as a human when you put yourself in these very uncomfortable situations.
Yeah.
And that's really the beauty of life, is when you become so complacent, you know, and complacent is different from content, right? Mm-hmm. Complacent is just like throwing your hands up in the air and like just saying it is what it is, you know, and there's nothing I can do about it. That's complacent. And that's not good. That's not healthy. But most people who stay living in the same place, in the same town for their whole lives and never get a chance to really explore, oftentimes fall into that trap of complacency, but it doesn't do them good. Whereas whenever you get out of your comfort zone and you go somewhere new and you travel somewhere new and you experience something new and everything, you realize how capable you are as a human being when you can rely on yourself to get around and survive, and you don't need anyone else around, and you're doing it and you're getting by, you know, that confidence that you grow in yourself, again, creates character and creates your personality and creates everything else. So for
Absolutely.
Me, you know, I'm a world traveler and I'm always going to be a world traveler.
I love it. I'm just curious to know, like, what is the connecting factor between you moving so much? Is it like work related or is it just personal?
Absolutely. It was a lot around work. The biggest thing for me in New York City was at the kind of three and a half year marker, I was just feeling the burnout, and it was just the grind of paying so much, never saving anything, not being able to take vacations and travel because I have no money because I'm spending that all my rent and food, you know, just to live in New York City, you know, all these kind of things. And so at a certain point, it's like, why am I doing this to myself? If I move to North Carolina in Raleigh, where the cost of living is much lower, I can easily find a tech job down there and I can have an apartment and I can live much, much better and have a better standard of living. I can actually own a car. I didn't have a car in New York, but now I can have my own car and drive myself around, like, freedom, you know? And so why am I doing this to myself in New York and making myself miserable? And so I told my bosses, look, I can't do it anymore. I'm not happy. And I really want to make a change. And so I'm moving to North Carolina. At the time, thank God, because, you know, I was working at such a great company. And at the time it was Salesforce, which I worked there for 7 years, but this was maybe like my third year in. They told me, hey, like, don't leave, you know, we'll just transfer you down to North Carolina. Why don't you support the region down there and continue working with us? But that way, you know, you're happy, but you're still working with us. So I was like, oh my gosh,
like, that's like, yes, double please, blessing. You know?
And so, you know, that brought me down there. And then the story about me moving from North Carolina to Miami, when I started my entrepreneurial journey, my co-founder, he was from Miami. I was living in North Carolina, and I invited him up to North Carolina to say, look, I want you to move closer to me. I want us to build our business together in person more and be together more in the same city. Come visit. I'll show you how amazing North Carolina is, how beautiful it is and everything. And think about it. And he came up and he saw it and he was like, okay, this is good, but you've never seen
I love it.
And so I went down, and that time after that weekend, I was just like, yep, I guess I'm going to move down here instead. And so then I transitioned down there.
That is so beautiful. Like, I feel like you have such a rich experience, and that is beautiful. So I am confident that your stretch story is going to be interesting, and we're going to take it that way. When you said tech, I said, yes, that's the segue into the next question, which is, you know, exploring who you are, what you do, and all of that. Now, I know that you are building the number one platform to help creators earn MRR, which is monthly recurring revenue, with Discord, you know, and so far you have generated $4.8 million in revenue in 4 years for your business. Now, my question is, why did you pick Discord of all the platforms to pick?
Yes. So the way that I look at social media platforms, there's really two types of platforms that they fall into. You have an audience-based platform, something like Twitter, Instagram, you know, TikTok, where it's one-to-many. You post to millions of people out there, out into the ether, you know, and it's an audience-based platform. But then you have community-based platforms, things like Twitch, you know, things like private Facebook groups, things like Discord, you know, and Slack, and these kind of things. And they are more of a many-to-many kind of relationship.
Community.
Where now you're actually engaging with people and other people are engaging with you, and you have this ability to really build, you know, almost like a tribe and a community, you know, around something. And so the way that I kind of fell into it was when I was working at Salesforce towards my later years, I used to work from home. And so I used to just day trade a lot in the stock markets. And in the first 2 years, I didn't do very well. But in my third year, I started getting a lot better and a lot more serious. And my friends started kind of taking notice of that. And they started coming to me saying, hey, Jason, can you teach me how to use this app? Can you teach me what you're looking at? Or how does this work? And how does the stock market work? And can you teach me these things? And it went from me teaching one friend to then him telling another friend to them kind of coming to me and a few more friends. And then I kind of started realizing, hey, there's enough people who want to learn from me that I could probably create a business from this. But I also need to figure out a way, though, to scale myself, because right now I'm just texting everyone one-on-one, and I'm answering the same questions and teaching the same things
multiple times.
Multiple times, and it's not scalable that way. So I took to Instagram and I created an Instagram account called Option Swing. I took options trading, which is what I'm doing, and swing trading, which is when you buy and hold, and I kind of merged it together and called it Option Swing. And with that, I started creating my own infographics. I created my own watch lists, my own news posts, my own, you know, everything about what I was doing. And in our first month, we got to 1,000 followers, all organic. And then by the second month, we got to 2,000 followers. And at that point, I started getting a lot of DMs from people asking about Discord. And at the time, I didn't know much about Discord. I knew video gamers used it a little bit, and they do it for like something with that. But why are they asking me finance, education, and Discord together? But when I looked at the platform, I realized it's literally taking the best of every feature of every platform out there and bringing it into one place. I can do text. I can do audio. I can do video. I can live stream classes every single week. I can make read-only channels and put content in there and make libraries and build enough value that I could really justify charging a membership and you know, teaching through this private space. But then came the other side of the equation, which is, how do you actually go about doing all of that? You know, the concept is great, but how do you get someone from your website to a checkout screen, collecting and authenticating that payment? How do you send them into Discord in hopefully a matter of a minute with applying the permissions so they can see everything and have the right, you know, role to do everything and access? How do you give them a self-service portal so they can come and cancel their membership on their own, update their own payment settings, download their own invoices, all of that stuff without ever coming to the owner? You know, because every time someone coming saying, hey, I want to cancel. Hey, I want to cancel. Hey, I want to update my email. Hey, I want to update my payment. Every time it's 5-10 minutes out of your day to go fix that case. And when you're doing this with a large community and you're spending 3 to 4 hours a night just doing customer support cases, how do you have enough time to actually focus on what's most important, which is scaling and marketing and growing the community? You know, so using my engineering background and the universe bringing the right people in the right time, the right place, I met my CTO, Roberto, who has been an absolute phenomenal, you know, person in my life. And him and I, we designed late night, every night, a platform. And then once it was ready, we launched Option Swing as a business. And we went from $0 to $1 million in our first 10 months of business.
Wow.
We hit 1.5 million at our 1.5 year marker. And then it was at that point that I realized not only was I building a significant education business, but this entire software that we built in-house that's running and managing and scaling everything could probably be used by tens of thousands of other businesses in Discord. So why not just create a second company, make it a B2B SaaS platform, and then offer it out, you know, to those folks, which I inevitably did. And so that's what kind of led me into my journey of building around Discord and owning my own education business in Discord, but also my own software business supporting Discord communities.
Wow, that is such a beautiful journey that you shared, just from, you know, looking out, seeing a problem. And I think that's like, you know, generally what we talk about when we talk about, you know, creating a business, seeing a problem, creating the solution, and then making that solution available to a lot of people. And I just love how your journey have progressed over the years. That is so fantastic. So you spent time creating resources that someone mentioned, I think in one of your posts, would say, well, it will be well worth $5,000. Why are you giving it out for free? And rather than think about that on your end, you actually went ahead, updated the same resources and info and guide, and you still gave it out for free. Why? Who are you? Tell us about that.
For me, it's just time at the end of the day. It doesn't cost me any money necessarily to create and build these guides and really share my knowledge. To me, I feel like people oftentimes do it the wrong way, where, again, they try to go for the quick paycheck or the quick money versus the long-term relationship. And, you know, if you try to push an ocean guide or not an ocean guide, but, you know, a course or an ebook, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm saying it's a great add-on strategy to everything else you're delivering, but it shouldn't necessarily be the main core revenue product that you're leading with, you know, per se. But with that, you know, whenever, you know, you have to paywall those kind of things to get access to it, yeah, the quick money that comes in is great, but it's not much because it's not going to convert as well as something that's free, the amount of people that would actually want to engage for free. And so what is ultimately the point of what you're trying to sell? If it's really just a guide that ends there and there's no continuation, there's no other solutions beyond it or no other things beyond it, it's just that one guide and that's it, okay, then that's a one-time product, fine. But what I'm building, you know, is essentially within the creator economy, I want to inspire and show other people that I am literally living abroad, you know, in another country. I work from home, you know, I have my own business through online, you know, internet, and it's through Discord that's free, which is amazing, you know, and I don't have to pay extra money necessarily to own my own Discord server, you know, and all of these things are possible to do. And it all came because I just had a passion for educating. And because of that passion of educating, and I already saw the natural progression of a few people wanting to learn more and a few more people wanting to learn more, and then finding a way for me to get my information out even more so more people would want to keep coming and learning from me. And then from there, eventually bringing it into a private space where I can live stream classes every single week. Like that was, you know, kind of the progression. But when you build a Notion guide and when you build these assets, it's so much more effective for me to get that in the hands of as many possible people as I can get to inspire them that, wow, I can't believe that not only did he do this, but he's literally laying it out for me on how he did it and how I can literally do it myself, and some examples of other real communities today that are also doing it in different, you know, industries or different niches, we will call it. And it's through that that people actually come in, you know, and that's honestly been one of the most effective marketing methods that I've been doing with Ternary, because we average probably about 4 to 5 demos a week right now, just for me tweeting about this, you know, and giving out a guide and people seeing the pinned message and downloading that guide and all this kind of stuff. It leads them all ultimately to a Calendly link, which is being able to book a demo with us. And that it's a lot more effective for me to, you know, scale than necessarily trying to sell my guides as I'm trying to pitch my business, as I'm trying to sell a service, as I'm trying to do everything else. It's just, it's hard, you know?
I love it. I love it. That's quite interesting. Did you come about this, would I call it a strategy, on your own, or was it something you learned on your journey as you progress in business?
It's something that I've always had a natural understanding for. I can't specifically point to someone that ever taught me this, that this is the way you need to market and this is the way you need to do it.
Yeah.
But from a foundational aspect, value is what sells. And as long as you provide value, things will always happen. And so I just see, especially on the social media landscape, having now grown my own Instagram account. So we have 430,000 followers on our Auction Swing Instagram account now at this point, and over the 4 years that we've been growing it. And so through that, you know, I've seen a lot of accounts, small ones, medium-sized ones, big accounts and everything. And I always kind of observe what are people doing well and what are people not doing well. And it's always the posts where it's like, look at me, you know, or things that provide no value that never get any engagement or complaints or things like that. Again, when you don't add value, everyone has problems, everyone has complaints, everyone has issues, but there's a lot of negativity already in this world. Absolutely. So if you're just another vessel of that negativity, spreading that out there and trying to provoke people into engagement, that never works. Whereas if you just provide pure value, pure knowledge, things that you've learned, you know, that many people may not know yet, you know, all these different things, that literally will attract more people to you, you know, than anything else you could possibly do. You know, no matter how many resumes you post out there, no matter how many things you do, whatever you, you know, if you don't provide any value, you'll never get anywhere. But the people who are silently providing the most value always end up doing really well.
Absolutely. I love it. I love, 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 love it. Okay. So on your journey to building and getting these beautiful results, strategies, things that, you know, where you, I feel like you're waking up every morning, you're like, yeah, I might not be where I want to be yet, but I'm so grateful for where I am right now. What are some challenges that you have experienced, and what life lessons have you taken away from those challenges?
Yeah, I have a really like impactful moment in my life that really helped me recalibrate how I look at my problems, you know, in my life. And that came by way of me at the time, maybe four or five months in to my startup that I was building with Option Swing, and me balancing my full-time work at Salesforce. And because at the time I was working with our enterprise customers, our largest retail accounts, things like Burger King and Subway and some of these really, really large, you know, corporations. I have to be on my game. You know, I can't be messing up. I can't be, you know, missing things. I can't be like, I have to do my work on the Salesforce front to what's expected, you know, because of the level that I was, you know, at. But at the same time, I have this startup rapidly growing, you know, and at the time, you know, as I mentioned earlier, we went from zero to a million in 10 months. So at our 5-6 month point, we were rapidly growing, and I'm trying to figure out, how do I balance what's exploding on one hand, which I really love, and what I've always wanted was my own business. And this is literally happening. At the same time, the safety and security that Salesforce is providing me, the salary, the benefits, the health, you know, insurance, everything, you know, that they're doing for me. And so there became a point where not only was I not sleeping very well, not only was Discord in my business bringing me tremendous amount of stress, but I started having physical illness from it, in the sense of actually like having body sweats at nighttime. So what would happen is I would go to bed. First and foremost, I have what I would consider almost PTSD from the notification sound of Discord. I actually have Discord notification muted in terms of the alert, because back in those days, every time I hear that beep, beep, like kind of sound, or that beep sound, I immediately wake up and I immediately just have to go to my computer and check the message and answer. And I'm just, it was a very, very intense, unhealthy relationship.
Wow.
But I couldn't not see what the DM was, or the message was, or what did someone need, or what happened, or something. So I was super stressed, and I wasn't getting sleep that way. And the other thing was that I would have the air conditioning on, I would have the fan on, I would take the blankets off the bed, and I would lay there and I'd sleep. But in the morning, every single morning, I was waking up in a giant pool of sweat. And every single day, I felt like I wasn't sleeping and I wasn't getting rest. And yet I would have to wake up at 8 in the morning, or probably even earlier than that, start my day, get ready, start doing stuff with my, you know, personal business first. And then as soon as that's done, I can hop over and start doing the Salesforce calls that I have to get onto. And then that's my day. And that's Monday through Sunday, you know, essentially. And so there became a Friday where I was like, enough is enough. I'm literally going to turn off everything. I'm literally just going to sit by myself, because I used to have a lot of distractions. I would distract myself with just hanging out with friends all the time, just all these things, so that I don't have to think about everything else going on in a lot of ways. And it was at that time when, on that Friday, I was like, I'm just going to sit there with my dog. I'm going to sit and just literally not talk to anyone, not use my phone, not do anything, and just chill and just put on some music, turn down the lights, and just relax and just try to have like a good, like calming Friday and try to get to bed early. And the problem about that is, when you're sitting by yourself in a room, you know, you start to have your thoughts and you start to get in your head. And I'm starting to have this like anxious feeling, and I'm starting to feel like, you know, not good. And I'm like, nope, let me change the music. Maybe it's the music that's not making me feel good. Okay, let me make myself a drink. Like, maybe I just need to loosen up a little, like just everything else to distract myself. But nope, that feeling of anxiety and something boiling up in me is starting to come back again. And I'm like, okay, I surrender. I need to just sit down with my thoughts and actually just figure out what's wrong with me right now. And so I had a whiteboard that I was using to always, you know, whiteboard everything. And so I erased all of it. And I am an analytical person, you know, naturally. And so I made three columns, and I kind of categorized my problems into three different ways. The first category being problems that I have no control over, that I need to just get rid of and let go. So one example is like I'm 5'8", and let's pretend I really wish I was 6 feet, you know. Obviously, I'm not going to grow and I'm not going to be 6 feet. So that's one of those things where I just need to let that go, you know, and move on with my life. The second column was problems that I had where if I just continued working hard and being patient, they would resolve themselves over time. So an example of that could be something like credit card debt. If you rack up credit card debt, you know what you need to do. You need to stop spending. You need to start paying back more than you owe, and you need to be consistent with it, and you will eventually pay it down. But if you don't do it, you will only get yourself a bigger hole and only explode bigger. Exactly. So that's problem number two. And I'm writing all these problems in. And then the last problem are problems that I can fix literally today. So, hey, I'm feeling overweight. I can literally go to the gym right now and hop on the treadmill and start working out. There's no excuse for me to blame myself for feeling bad about something that I can change today. And so I started writing down all my problems there. And as I went through this whole exercise and I wrote down all these different things, I realized, you know what? Some of these things that I thought were so bad aren't so bad. Some of these things that I thought were never going to fix itself will fix itself if I just stay patient. And some of these things I need to start doing tomorrow, you know, and stop being procrastinating about it and delaying it. And as soon as I went through that exercise, I kid you not, I was able to start sleeping normally and I didn't have night sweats after that. And so it's just the power of the mind. I think that's one of the incredible things. I never expected this to happen, never imagined this would ever happen to me. But if you really sit down with your thoughts and really, really spend some time getting to know yourself, because I think a lot of people sometimes ignore that.
They're afraid of themselves. Yeah. You can't sit with yourself for like 10 minutes. Like, no.
Yeah. It's like, what am I doing? No, I have to go distract myself. But that's, it's real, you know, but that's why meditation is so important, is because it's a skill, you know, to be able to sit with yourself, with your thoughts, and, you know, have control over it. Yeah.
Wow. So good. I'm just imagining, I'm just imagining, you know, the peaceful sleep you had that particular night. So I hope you've been sharing this particular story with others to tell them the power of the mind and, know, spending that time. You know, I also like just came into that realization, and it became like very prominent in my consciousness. The fact that, you know, it's one of the hardest things to do, thinking about like having conversations with yourself. Like the first time I tried it recently, I'm like, oh my, why is it so difficult to just sit with yourself and just ask yourself like real deep, tough questions? Because again, you have the answers, right? But you're like, no, I don't want to have this conversation, you know? And I think it's the same thing that happens with other people. And it's actually, the more you are able to do it with yourself, the better you get at actually dealing with, you know, issues with other people, because then you are more comfortable, more prone, more patient to actually talk through things, even when it's difficult, you know, those difficult conversations like, okay, how are you truly feeling right now? No cap, no judgment. I just really want to know how you're feeling. Like, just express it to me how you're feeling, right? It's easier, you know, when you understand how it is done on yourself to actually empathize with somebody else. You might have gotten there, but when you see, you know, when you're trying to, you know, when I'm trying to have conversation with somebody, I'm like, just let me, like, can you just articulate how you're feeling? And it's difficult for them. It's easy for me to empathize with them, like, man, you know what? You need to go talk to yourself first, because if you can't articulate it with yourself, it will be difficult for you to communicate it with somebody else. And that is so powerful, what you did. And the change that it has just, you know, brought. Do you have one more lesson, life lesson that you can share with us as we wrap this up today?
I always have a lot of life lessons that I can share. It's one of the other kind of lessons that I've learned in life is, I'm a big believer in the universe, in the natural flow of the universe, and that things will always happen when it should, as it should in life. And you can't force things sometimes too.
So sorry to cut you there. When you say that, like, things should happen when like you say, Sarah, how is that different from complacency? Like, okay, it is what it is.
Sure. So it's almost like when things are happening throughout your life, Oftentimes as they're happening, you never know why it's happening, you know, and you never know, and especially the hardships, most especially the hardships in life. It almost feels like, you know, obviously these are very low points, very tough points. And in those moments, you just feel like, how could this be? But you always somehow survive. Humanity is great in that way, that you always survive and you always make it through somehow. You always find a way. And as you do that, you get better and you grow and so forth. And you look back and these moments of, you know, of times that you thought were just like the absolute worst of why, but through that, something beautiful happened and something then was created, all that. And then it created into other things. And I think people have to always remember to be patient in that way, because I think a lot of people want things so quickly and want things so right now and want to force things to happen, you know, and if it's not happening, then, oh, it's a failure, or, oh, this is miserable, or this is really difficult. Whereas if you let the natural order of life kind of progress and you stay patient, you know, a lot of times, and you work hard, you know, a lot of times things always kind of come out, opportunities out of nowhere, you know, blessings and everything, you know. So I mean, just looking back on my career and everything like that, even with my startups, as much as we've done well and we've been able to generate revenue, it hasn't been all, you know, peaches and rosy and everything. Of course, there's moments where I've had to literally skip paychecks and pay employees instead of myself first, you know, and it's what you have to do. But when that happens, then you have to take on more stress yourself, because you can't go out and eat as many times, or go buy that thing that you want to go out, or go see the movies, or that kind of stuff. Because again, you have to wait until you get that next paycheck. And again, living like that is extremely difficult, but there's sacrifices that you make, you know, through that. And again, beautiful things happen. People leave, new people come in, new solutions are found, new products are created to help drive more revenue, all these different things. And our business has become what it has become because of all those little hardships of realizing, oh, selling a monthly membership was not enough, so we need to build our own products and start selling additional products to create multiple streams of revenue. Oh, outbound selling and DMing is not enough. We need to start inbounding more people and bringing more people into scale. And all these different things of hardships, you know, happening, but through that, finding solutions and growing from it. Again, like, you know, everything happens for a reason at the end of the day. It's just how you choose to kind of face it,
react to it.
Exactly. Everything is an opportunity. There's always an opportunity in everything.
Absolutely. I love it. Thank you so much, Jason, for your time. Thank you for sharing so beautifully well and taking us into those depths, you know, of ideologies and your journey to where you are today. If you were to speak to a young person, I believe you're in your 30s. Am I correct?
Yes. Yes, 34.
If you were to say 34, ooh, almost getting to the middle. All right. So if you were to speak to a young person who is still at that stage where they're not sure, you know, they have this project and like probably like you, they also have, you know, this work and it's like looking like their attention is dragged here or there. And they're at that point where it's like, you know, a lot is happening and they're like feeling like they're losing it. What would your word of comfort be or encouragement be to a young person out there trying to hold it together but feeling like they're tearing apart? What would your word be for them?
Fair. First and foremost, I empathize. Having been there myself, I know what it's like and how it feels. And again, living like that is extremely difficult. One of the things that I've learned throughout my life is simplification. I used to love buying things. I used to love filling my home with things. But every time I moved, I would always get rid of a lot of stuff. I would always get rid of, donate a lot of clothes. I would always, every time, and you always kind of downsize every time you move. And I realized over time, I don't need all those things. You know, these are just, you know, nice to haves. But there's very core things in my life that I really need to have. And those are the things that I need to really build around. And so I learned that by moving from New York and downsizing to North Carolina in terms of less stuff, North Carolina down to Miami, less stuff, Miami down to Ecuador, less stuff. But as I simplify my life, I learned that it was a lot easier to control a lot of things, because a lot of the problems that stem from most things in our lives is money. And at the end of the day, the need for money. And what drives that need for money? Spending. And spending, whether it be on food, on travel, on home, on clothes, on commodities, you know, on nice to haves, on all these things. And so in a lot of ways, when your life is stretched, you know, oftentimes because of so many different things that you may be in or trying to do at the same time or what have you, that, you know, I think they say, like, the saying is like, a jack of all trades is a master of none. But like, and I forget the second part of it.
It's better than the master of one.
But yeah, but it's still like better than a master of one and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, I do believe that it's good to be a jack of all trades. But if you're never quite proficient in any one area, if you're always like just okay
average at
everything, it's hard. Mm-hmm. But if you simplify it and you really focus and hone in on certain threads that are in your life that you can really grasp onto and really make something of, that is a lot more important. And getting rid of all the extra things that you don't need to necessarily focus on, I think that simplification really helps recalibrate and reorganizes people's lives to realize these things I realize I shouldn't be worrying or doing because they're not contributing as much value. And these things I really should be doing a lot more of because they're contributing the most value. And one more quick example of this is a common like business kind of lesson or law, where in most businesses, 20% of whatever product or service creates about 80% of the revenue for the business. Right. And so that alone shows you that really a small amount produces the most to begin with. And that's where a lot of times people need to focus. And so a lot of these businesses will ultimately end up cutting out 80% of the rest of the things to focus on the 20% and end up doing a lot better because they're focusing on what they do the best. And so, yeah, I think that to me is really important in terms of simplification and kind of looking at their lives and trying to figure out, is there a way to simplify it better?
Wow. I think, you know, as you were speaking, I was just like trying to look for a phrase to say it feels more like less is more. Honestly.
Less is more. It is always in that way.
Absolutely. Woo! What a fantastic conversation I've had with you today, Jason. You are amazing. Thank you so much for coming on the show and thank you for sharing your story and your life lessons. We do not take it for granted. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me, EJ. It's an absolute honor. And I absolutely love talking to you. We've talked several times throughout Twitter Spaces, and now I finally had an opportunity to be on your podcast, which I absolutely love. But again, I just appreciate you so much and your energy that you bring, and again, your mission of helping people through their voice, you know, and being able to impact people. I think that's just so beautiful. And I want to help continue that message and help you on that message as well.
Thank you.
I'm happy to be here.
Thank you so much. All right. Okay, guys. So if you are here, I hope that you've learned something from Jason's story. If you have any questions for Jason, I am going to, you know, bring him back on stage and just ask if we wanted to connect with him. Hi, Jason. Welcome back. If we wanted to connect with you, how do we do that?
Yes. So you can find me on Twitter. My handle is the JAsian. I also have an Instagram with the exact same handle that you can follow as well. And then you can also follow me on LinkedIn under Jason Lee. And otherwise, I'm always open and you know, happy to talk to anyone and everyone, especially if I can provide any advice or guidance or help, you know, in any regard. And so don't ever hesitate to reach out, because at the end of the day, just like EJ, you know, we are here to help. So, you know, reach out when you want to.
So kind, talk to everyone and anyone. That is so true. If you slide into his DM, he's going to respond. And it is beautiful to know. Thank you, Jason. I'm coming for my own one-on-one session with you, okay? Please, don't shut the door.
Never.
All right. So, guys, thank you so much for being a part of the show today. Until I come your way again next week with another story, remember, I would always remind you, challenges, you're not the only one going through them. But please, as you go through those challenges, just take a posture like, what is this here to teach me? Why is this happening? Not why as in why is this happening? Why am I a victim? No, you're not a victim, because it's happening for you and not to you, all right? But ask yourself, what exactly do I need to learn through this challenge, through this experience? And, you know, open your eyes to those lessons and imbibe those lessons, and I can assure you that tomorrow when you're telling your story to the next person, they'll be able to glean some thread of inspiration, of hope from your story, okay? If you're not yet subscribed to this YouTube channel, I don't know what you're waiting for. Click the subscribe button right now and do turn on the notification so that you are alerted every time I put out a new content. And if you're listening to this on any of the podcasting platforms, please do well to rate this podcast there. Also share with your friends and family. And please, I crave your support. You can, you know, support me by clicking on the link around this, you know, podcast, whether the audio or the video, on the link that says buy me a coffee. It's just $5 for a cup. And, you know, by the time, you know, your support is going to help me create more content, get better gadgets. You know, some of my gadgets have just been they've been stretching me the last couple of weeks, but I refuse to give up. I'm just going to show up whether perfect or not. So your support is going to go a long way to help me mitigate around some of these challenges. But thank you so much for being here today. Till I come your way again next week, this is the Energetic EJ, one and only. See you next week. Bye.